Hello, good afternoon. Welcome to Under the Sun, right here on Inspiration FM 92.3. Well, a wonderful, wonderful Saturday afternoon. Hope you're okay. Hope you're all right. And as always, Under the Sun features the best of contemporary Nigerian writing brought to you by the British Council. That series is devised by Graham Mort and produced by Chidi Okwu. All right, this week, you know the drill. We play you a story, if I can use that word, written by a Nigerian writer here. And like we mentioned earlier on, Under the Sun deals with everything under the sun. Now, this week, we shall be listening to a story written by Richard Ali. Richard wrote a story called Seesaw Selection. Seesaw Selection. I have a guest in the studio, a publicity secretary in the person of Mr. Olubenga Soloki. Okay, hope I got that right. We'll be talking to him after the story. But if you have any questions or contributions, 277-3923, 277-2923 is the number to call. 277-3923 or 277-2923. Again, our story I'm about to play you is written by Richard Ugwede Ali. It's called Seesaw Selection. Here it is, and we'll be right back after this.
I'll never get married, Mother. I've obeyed you, but I'll never get married.
That was what my brother Farouk told our mother that morning, stomping away from the kitchen. The set of his shoulders and his very manner seemed to add the phrase,
"And you can't do anything about that."
That was before he raised the butcher knife to his belly. I could see my mother that day, plump but still beautiful in middle age. She wilted like a flower, but through her sadness, I remember she cast an accusing, malevolent glance at me. She blamed me, Husena. I knew that. But I also knew she blamed me unjustly. She followed Farouk, my younger brother, who was 23 and in love, into the living room. I followed her. "Farouk," she said, touching his arms. "Farouk, how can you say you won't marry? Do you want to ruin me?" So the busybodies would say, "There's that woman who ended her husband's lineage." "You have to marry, Farouk. You have to," she added, almost in tears. I just listened.
"No, Mother. I'll not. You're asking too much of me. You say I shouldn't marry Adama, and I've obeyed. I've obeyed you. I'll not marry Adama for your sake, but I'll not marry anyone else. I swear by Allah."
Why, my son? Don't swear so lightly. You must marry. So many Muslim girls to choose from. Must you marry a Christian and an Igbo girl of all tribes? Igbos eat pork, Farouk. Igbo women leave their hair uncovered and their men are wild. Oh, Allah, keep me from misfortune. Keep my only son from the wiles of Shaitan.
"Mother, I love Adama, and love is from Allah, not Shaitan. I'm leaving,"
said Farouk. Then he picked up his Gorje violin and left the house. My mother sat down in a heap on the nearest sofa. "Mama," I started. "No, no, lawyer girl. Don't even say anything. See? This is what you want. Go. All your lawyer grammar. See what it's leading me to. If your brother doesn't marry, that's the end of this family. Your second cousin, Alhaji Abubakar Hurami, will take over your dead father's title and this house, and me with it. Go away from me. I don't want to even look at you." "You forced him into this, Mama. How dare you? How can you? The old misunderstandings have no meaning anymore. Traditions are guides from God, yet you disregard them. Allah forgive your disrespect. Let Farouk marry who he will, and stop blaming me. Are you my daughter or an American?" "I am Husena," I said. "I am Muslim, and I do not fight tradition for the sake of it, only when it doesn't fit into modern life. Life is life," she said, and I knew she wouldn't understand. But when Farouk threatened his life with the butcher knife, she was forced to. I'll tell you how it happened. We are Hausa Muslims, while the girl Adamma was from the Igbo tribe and a Christian. Many in Nigeria, including my mother, still distrust Igbos because they had fought a 30-month civil war against the federal government 3 decades ago. The trouble was that love, in Farouk and Adamma's case, was blind to religion and culture. The next day, we heard angry knocking on the door. Like that. I opened the door and a middle-aged woman burst in, bristling, raging. I'd never seen her before. "Where's that woman?" she shouted. "That woman who bewitched my daughter, my only Adamma. Where is she? Let her kill me or let me kill her. Oh, Jehovah, where is she?" She was plump, stylish, light-skinned. I knew she was Adamma's mother. "Who are you, please?" I asked. "Who are you?" she demanded. "Are you Farouk Ibrahim's mother? Answer me. Is it your son that put a hex on my only daughter?" Before I could say anything, I heard, "I'm Farouk's mother. What do you want?" That moment held coil spring tension as my mother emerged and they sized each other up. You, I want my daughter back. I want my daughter." "What do you mean?" I asked, putting myself between them, fearing a meltdown at the first mistimed word. "Sit down," I said. "Please, Mama, for Allah's sake, both of you, sit down. Your son has put a hex on my daughter." "It's your daughter that put a hex on my son," countered Mama. "She says she'll remain a spinster. She isn't going to get married to a nice Christian boy and have children. My only son of my late husband, refuses to marry from pious Muslim girls. Your daughter, I curse the day he met her." "How dare you?" Adama's mother screamed, shooting out of her seat. "Mama," I jumped in between them again, like an interjection in a violent paragraph. "Both of you, sit down." Something in my voice made them look at me. "What is it you want? Each of you, tell me."
"I was widowed by the civil war. Hausas killed my husband. Adamma is my only child. Farouk is my only son. My family will no longer be Waziri of Balewa if Farouk doesn't marry,"
returned my mother. I said, "So what you both want is to have grandchildren." The reality of this sunk into them.
Yes,
they both replied. "And if you keep being so strict, neither of you will ever hold a grandchild. I'm tired of this historical baggage. Can't you both see reality?" It took me 2 hours, my greatest court trial, to get the two defenders of tradition and culture to see that their pig-headedness would annihilate both tradition and culture. It took me an hour's submission to get them to allow the two marry, if they wished. It took me just a second when I told Farouk for his face to spread in a smile like the flame from a cigarette lighter. But then the next day, Farouk was killing himself. My brother Farouk is a poet. He also has a fine sense of drama. There he was with a butcher's knife in his hand and we all begging him not to plunge it into his stomach. It was a nightmare moment. Mama was in tears. "What is this about, Farouk?" I managed to whisper, very much afraid. "A 12-inch knife pointing at your brother's gut does that to you." Farouk's face was ghostly. Would the knife plunge? But he looked at me, and I followed his eyes towards a sheet of paper on the table. I picked up the letter.
"Dear Farouk, I love you but cannot love you because I am happy yet cannot be happy. It's just not enough that our parents have accepted to our relationship. Sometimes I go into the town and walk around and cannot pretend not seeing. And I'm disgusted. Igbos are killed by Hausas for no reason in the north. The Yoruba and Igbo in the south retaliate. It sickens me to see women rendered childless in the name of God. One indifferent God pitted against another. Blind, stupid prejudice. Nobody trusts or loves anymore. I'm disgusted, Farouk. I'll be leaving for the Sisters of St. James Convent tomorrow. I love you, but our love cannot work, so I'll hide myself away and remember, forever, yours, Adama.
I held my brother's arm and looked at my mother. Farouk, stop being silly. Give me that knife. Mother, it's all right. It's going to be okay, I said. When we arrived the courtyard of Adamma's house, I could hear her mother's high-pitched pleas.
I do not agree, because Hausa people killed your father during the war. But now that I agree, you say you won't become Reverend Sister. You know one bomb picking for me to carry. Oh, Adamma, what I do you? Adamma, please, marry Farouk. Please, don't become a Reverend Sister. Don't go and marry God, I beg. Adamma, my Adamma, try now.
Farouk, my brother, always carries a Goje violin with him. And I told him to play, to start playing, right there under the balcony of Adamma's house. I told him to play like his life depended on it. So he played. The music rising out of the strings like rainbow colors harmonizing rain and sun and all the contrary things on earth. He played his heart out, his naked heart, as when a child is born, that beauty of a first cry in days before children realize how to be ignorant, how to misjudge, and how to hate based on race and tribe, religion, and creed. But they really did not need me to resolve that situation. Just like you don't need me to tell you how it all ended. But because I'm a good person, I'll tell you two things. Adamma looked out on the balcony and her eyes held one word only. And Farouk didn't have to kill himself.
Wow, a very moving story there. And that was Seesaw Selection, written by Richard Ugbede Ali. And I have in the studio with me a guest who's going to help me thrash this issue out in addition to your calls. His name is Olugbenga Shiloki. He's the Publicity Secretary of the Committee for Defense of Human Rights, CDHR, which is at Adeni Jones, Ikeja. Welcome to the show, Mr. Ugbenga.
Thank you very much.
So, you've heard the story, and well, basically, in a nutshell, we have four major players: Farouk, Ibrahim,
Adamma,
his wife to be Adamma, the narrator who happens to be the sister of Farouk, and the two mothers on both sides.
Yeah.
Very, very moving story. Story of love, story of culture, story of diversity, all in one. What can you say about this so far?
Actually, it's a moving story because so many contradictions came into play. But I was moved by the story because it shows the level at which people who are in love can actually go to. Because I realized that Farouk was willing to kill himself if he's not going to have Adamma. Adamma too was also resolute. But unfortunately, when the mother has now agreed, it now became another thing.
Mm.
But you see, it's also, since I know it's a Nigerian background which is being used there, and you see that our leaders equally use that strategy to also rule. That's why you see the contention that Igbos kill Hausas during the Civil War.
In the Biafra War,
does not really hold water henceforth. And I know definitely so many families are still going through this traumatic experience. And you know, it's really affecting people. It's affecting the families lives. And lives of so many children.
All right, 277-3923 or 277-2923. Numbers to call if you have any questions or contributions. I have in the house with me Mr. Gbenga, who is the publicity secretary of Committee for the Defense of Human Rights. Now, basically the story, let's take it from the angle of the two individuals, as Farouk and Adama.
Yeah.
Human rights, from the angle of human rights, yeah. What rights do they have?
They have a right of association. They can associate with anybody you feel like.
Okay.
And in the rights, I know definitely Nigerian government or successful government are signatories to so many rights, so many charters on human and people's rights. Which one is a freedom of association, which those people, the two individuals, the two characters are equally entitled to. I can't decide to marry anybody I feel like marrying. Mm-hmm. But for culture, for the culture of
there's
our country,
a cultural angle
to it, that's the problem. And that's why some of us are of the opinion that children must be allowed to marry whom, wherever their loves fall on. Because,
but what do we do, Gbenga, when the human right conflicts the traditional or cultural right, where you must take heed to your parents, to what they want?
You know, so many cultures are fading away. Actually, it's a very terrible thing because I know so many cultures are fading away. Going to Western modernization.
Influence.
And it's equally affecting the people. But actually, as a rights activist, I think that takes precedence. Because one, as a person,
which,
you have a,
which takes precedence?
With the right to choose, to freely choose whom you want to marry. That's freedom of association. And I'm sitting down with you. I can afford to say I want to marry a cripple if that's my choice. The worst we can do is to say, as my mother, you will not come to my house. But you see, we are also living in a society that is that feels strongly about their culture. Either the Igbos, the Yorubas, or the Hausas, they are very, very particular about their cultures. But unfortunately, the cultures also contradicts
themselves.
Yes, you know, in the Yoruba setting, my son cannot wake up in the morning and say that a good morning. I'll slap such son. Though it is wrong for me to slap him, but that's a normal thing. In my own culture as a Yoruba man. But in Igbo language, you see, in an Igbo setting, you see the son will come and say that, he'll kick the father. And that is normal. In the outside terrain, you see the son scout to greet the father. You understand? So many, that's what is called cultural relativity.
Before I go on, 277-3923, 277-2923, feel free to call in at any time so you can have your question or your contribution. But my curiosity is that, fine, there's Western influence, fine, there's the cultural differences.
Yeah.
But when does the individual want, the individual right, take precedence or priority over any other? That is the free will. If I want to marry, like if Farouk wanted to marry Adama and went against the will of his parents to do so, would he be wrong in doing that?
No, I don't think there's anything wrong, except those who are ethnic jingoists or religionists who say that you have offended God if you have offended your parents. But first and foremost, you have a right to live. Right to do the way you want to live your life. But you see, because like I mentioned, the cultural angle to it, and because we live in a setting that's also prone to culture, that's why we're doing this, that's why we're talking about it, because I feel strongly that Farouk has his life to live. I should be allowed by his mother to live his life.
Hello, good afternoon.
What's your name? Welcome to Under the Sun.
Thank you. My name is Hakim.
Hakim, what's your question or contribution?
Well, I just wanted to correct the person, the guest speaker, Pastor Cross.
Mr. Gbenga, yeah?
Yeah, he said that the Igbo chap will wake up and hit his father. And I think it's wrong. Very, very wrong at that.
Except you're just changing that now.
I'm sorry?
Except you're just changing that now.
No, it is not done, really. You know, if you know how these things happen, you know, if you know, because I'm married to an Igbo lady.
How do they greet their fathers?
Well, they greet their father. They shake the father. You know, they shake elders. You know, that is their own culture.
Okay, I think what Mr. Gbenga meant is not the literal kicking.
Yes, I'm not saying that. Yes. I said
what
I,
he's trying to say is that it's not as intense as the Yoruba who have to prostrate.
Yes.
I think that's what he meant. Not
not the kicking as
a son who wakes up to kick the dad. I don't think he'll live too long.
Definitely.
So what else is your contribution? Well, what can you say about this, Hakim?
Well, I believe it's something that is gradually fading out. You know, intertribal marriages are happening nowadays, and I think it's actually on Bone and us to actually try to encourage our children, right, to see beyond our own. How we see things before.
Okay.
You understand? At least I think that make our country better.
Okay.
And at least make the country. Make even they themselves
a lot better.
You understand? Right. Yeah, that is better.
Thank you very much, Hakim.
You're welcome.
Hello, good afternoon.
Hello, good afternoon.
What's the name? Welcome to Under the Sun.
Yeah, this is Cheryl.
All right, Sean, what's your question or contribution?
Well, just like the first caller did mention, please, we need to be very careful the type of language and expression we use when we are trying to describe other tribes. Please, for no reason, Igbos, they don't kick their elders. They shake with two hands.
I think that has been corrected already.
Yes, I know, but I'm just re-emphasizing it because I hear a lot of Yoruba say it has become a slang or a normal phrase. Igbos, they kick their fathers on the bed, which is not true. Please, we need to be very careful.
Okay.
The words we use. And secondly, another thing is tribal issues in Nigeria. From research, it has been shown that people think in their language. Their language has a lot of influence on their mentality and their reasoning. Nigeria, being a country with diverse tribes and cultures, is very, very important that we have a common ground as a nation, looking beyond our different cultures and understanding that as Nigeria, we're one body, we're one nation, and we should look beyond tribal sentiment. Thank God those barriers have been broken, but there are still some tribes in Nigeria today, which I don't want to mention really, that they still hold so strongly to their own cultural beliefs, making it look as if it is their tribe superior to other tribes. Other tribes are beginning to like allow infusion into other tribes. They are absorbing other tribes, but this tribe still feels, and they are still one of the most strongest tribes in the world, I would say, and in Africa, I would say, because of their tradition, and which they have rubbed off their tradition when it comes to partying on other tribes in Nigeria. So I think you can figure out which tribe I'm talking about. But all the same, we need to let go of all those tribal sentiments. Tradition doesn't take anybody anywhere. Culture, fine, is good. It helps us to know where we're coming from and help us to have an identity. But all the same, we should drop tradition and let us move on as a nation.
Okay, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Yeah. All right, 277-3923, 277-2923 is still Under the Sun, where we heard a story written by Richard Ali. It's titled Seesaw Selection, which basically talks about a guy called Farouk Ibrahim wanting to marry a Christian, an Igbo Christian called Adama. Farouk is a Hausa person, and the mothers of both parties were not party to that. And it's basically putting a limelight on the issue of cultural, religious, and conflict barriers still lingering in the country. And we have in the house Olugbenga Shiloki, Public Secretary, Publicity Secretary, Committee for the Defense of Human Rights, in the building. Hello, good afternoon.
Yeah, good afternoon.
What's the name, sir? Where are you calling from?
My name is Boyega in traffic.
Oh, Boyega, welcome to Under the Sun. What's your question or contribution?
Yeah, my contribution is I'm coming through the religious angle.
Okay.
Cultural good, gives us the identity and all that. But it's not as important as the religious aspect of it all. You see, like the story of Farouk that I just listened to, what Farouk's sister didn't mention most importantly for me was the religious angle. Human rights is good, we have the right of association, all other things. But for a spiritual person, the spiritual controls the physical for me. It goes beyond human rights. It's really the hub of existence itself.
But what is your take on the issue of the religion? Is it? I think they wanted to get married. So where does your religion come in? What exactly? What point are you trying to pass across?
Yes, in the area of Farouk being a Muslim, he being a Christian. Yes. You see, if the parents refuse on the grounds of religion, I think they have a strong point. That's what I believe.
Okay, so you're saying they should stick to the what does the religion say? That's from your point of view. What does the religion say?
Well, it depends on the kind of religion you practice anyway.
Let's take, for example, Farouk, who is an Hausa or Muslim, and Adama, who is an Igbo Christian.
I'm going to come from Adama's angle now because I'm a Christian.
Okay.
I'm sorry, I don't know how anyone is going to see it. But I can marry a practicing Muslim, for example.
You cannot marry?
A practicing Muslim.
Muslim, okay.
He might be a Muslim prior to marriage, but the moment he becomes my wife, or even before becoming my wife, he has to be a Christian. That's the way it is.
Okay.
So I'm going to encourage my children to, because I was taught in that way, and I'm going to encourage them in that way too.
So are you trying to say that if your kids should come up with anything contrary to this, you would not be a party to it?
I won't be a party to it because that's not what my Bible tells me. That's all.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much, Boyega.
Yeah, have a good day.
All right, Benga, what do you have to say about that?
Well, I think I have to sharply disagree with him because at least we read some verses of the Bible, which says, at least there's a verse there which said, a woman shall leave his parents and cling to both parents now and cling to her husband. Mm. So if you are talking about Christianity in this manner, that means you are not being fair because you are saying they have not married. The woman has not said she will not practice Christianity for God's sake. Mm. They were still proposing to marry. So the woman has not said, if I get to your house, I continue to stick to my religion. From my own angle, from my own perspective, I don't think a woman will solely, if truly you love your husband, will solely say, I want to remain my religion, and which the husband does not support.
But another instance is that we have situations where children go against the wishes of their parents and go ahead and get married. And some people live long and enjoy their marriage. Some of them, the parents come back eventually to acknowledge the marriage, and some lose they lose their parents. Some parents disown their children. Being a human rights activist, what can you say about stories like that? You know, have you come across any like that?
Yeah, we have seen so many, and I think the children are right. Actually, the mothers, at least at 18, the constitution recognizes the fact that you can take decision on your own. And I know for you to be planned to get married, you should be above 18. For God's sake, once it is constitutionally recognized, they should be given that right to also freely choose whom they want to be with. Because the parents will not stay with them in their matrimonial home. They will not face the consequence of their action or inactions. Meanwhile, they will not even go through the stress the man or the woman will be going through if eventually their choice of a woman or a husband fails. So definitely the children should be allowed. Like I told my wife, I have told all my children, well,
whoever
I want to go, you go. As
just
an activist,
make sure he's
once, even whatever it is, I don't want to know. Because I'm not going to come to your house and go and say, give me gari. So what? I don't want to see, but just go ahead and live your life. Well, you live it. That's my take.
Let me just take one more call and call it a day.
Hello, good afternoon. Welcome to Under the Sun.
Yes, hello.
What's the name, please?
I'm calling back, please.
Okay, where you go?
Yes, Mr. Gwinga just said something that I really want to say something about.
Okay.
The role the parents play in the marriage is so huge that it will be a great risk to say, I want to do it without them. You see, that's the problem the Europeans and Americans are facing today. They've turned marriage to a contract, and it goes beyond that. That's why you see failed marriages all over the place. You see, these days there are too many pressures, financial issues, the husbands come home late, and things like that. If they don't have parents who intervene when things really go bad, you see, the marriage won't work. So it's a big risk. Oh, you can do it, but it is a risk that you might not afford to take. That's all I want to say.
All right, thank you very much, Boyega.
I really wish we could go on and on about this, but final words from Gbenga.
Well, like Mr. Wega just said, if they don't have family or don't have parents, would they live their lives? So I want to submit finally that whoever your child chooses, should allow such a child to go ahead. That's my take.
All right. Thank you very much, Mr. Gbenga. Thank you to all of you who've called in. Sorry we can't take much more calls, but you can join the same time next week right here, Under the Sun at 1 p.m. Don't forget, Under the Sun is brought to you by the British Council, and the series was devised by Graham Mott and produced by Chidi Oku. Under the Sun is the hottest stories by contemporary Nigerian writers dealing with everything under the sun. This broadcast is an output from the Radiophonics Project funded by the British Council. The views expressed are not necessarily those of the British Council. My name is Oscar. Titi goes on with the program right here. Still Inspiration FM 92.3. Have a wonderful afternoon.
Inspiration FM, Nigeria's number one family radio station.